Even the most creative fiction writers would have a hard time coming up with this next story, perhaps because it's all true. A story that appears in the latest issue of Wired magazine. And it begins at a PNC bank in Erie, Pennsylvania, on August 28, 2003. A middle-aged pizza delivery man named Brian Wells walks in. He's wearing a loose white T-shirt that hardly conceals a giant bulge in his neck.
In his right hand, he's holding a bizarre-looking cane. He walks up to the teller. He hands the teller a note declaring a bank robbery.
That's Rich Shapiro. He's a reporter who spent the past year piecing together what actually happened. Anyway, the bank teller hands Brian Wells a bag with about $8,000, and he walks out. And 15 minutes later, state troopers track Brian Wells down at a parking lot of an eyeglass repair shop. And this is where the story gets weird.
They grab him, they handcuff him, and throw him onto the ground. Mr. Wells starts pleading with them. He says, "Listen, there's a bomb strapped to my neck. I was forced to wear it at gunpoint. It's going to explode. I'm not lying to you." Several minutes passed with Brian Wells sitting on the pavement. By that point, a large mass of officers arrived. They kept their distance. And TV cameramen began arriving as well and began filming.
The following is an Action News 24 special report.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Lafferty. We have breaking news at this hour.
This scene played out for roughly 20, 25 minutes when finally the device around Mr. Wells' neck started to beep. And 10 seconds later, it exploded.
Wells dies within minutes. Inside his car, police find that walking cane, and on second inspection, they realize it's disguising a homemade, high-powered shotgun. And they also find cryptic notes that read like a scavenger hunt.
You know, go to the McDonald's, and you'll see a flower pot. There's a picture of where the pot is in relation to the arch.
The clue under the flower pot says, go to a clearing down a dirt road just outside the city and look for a glass jar. But when police arrived, that jar was gone. The person or people behind the apparent plot were onto them. About an hour before the robbery, Brian Wells was sent to deliver two pizzas to a remote spot on the outskirts of the city by a TV transmission tower. Some reporters from the Erie newspaper went to check it out the next day. Only one person lived in the area, and he was standing on his front porch, curious about all the investigators and reporters milling about. His name was Bill Rothstein.
He wore overalls, and he's a large man, about 6'2", and he started talking to them, and it was very frank and was very open and was clearly very intelligent. Those reporters said they were struck by the sight of this man who looked almost like a lumberjack and spoke like a college professor.
Rothstein was as baffled as anyone else, and for police, the trail went cold.
It was less than a month later, Bill Rothstein makes a call to the state police saying he has a dead body in his freezer.
So they raced to his home. And though Bill Rothstein was forthcoming, they also found a suicide note.
The first page of which read, "This has nothing to do with the Wells case."
The dead man in the freezer was James Roden. And Bill Rothstein said he kept the body there for a friend, a woman named Marjorie Deal Armstrong, who he said killed James Roden. Deal Armstrong was arrested and sent to a county jail. And as for Bill Rothstein?
Just a few months after he called police to report this body in his freezer, he died of lymphoma.
For 2 years, the case of the pizza collar bomber baffled police. Until one day, they got a call from Marjorie Deal Armstrong. She had information about the Brian Wells case.
She thought she would get some kind of immunity deal. She was getting very poor legal advice. And she spoke at length with detectives.
She basically sold herself out.
That's correct.
Investigators began to build a case against her, and they determined that she had masterminded the bank heist and that Brian Wells, the victim, and a small-time crack dealer named Kenneth Barnes were in on it as well. Turns out, Wells was living a double life, a quiet pizza delivery man who was also carrying on a discreet relationship with a prostitute, a woman who was addicted to crack. And Wells needed money to keep buying her the drugs. He was likely led to believe that the sophisticated bomb fastened around his neck was a fake, made to look like he was an unwitting hostage. Now, Marjorie Deal Armstrong was convicted of the crime last fall, and next month she'll be sentenced. But from her jail cell, she continues to deny any involvement.
I mean, if I was part of the crime, I'd be scared to death to keep my mouth shut and say, good God, I hope they never take a look in this direction. You know what I mean?
But questions remained. Who made the high-tech collar bomb? Who turned a walking stick into a high-powered shotgun? Who wrote The Scavenger Hunt? All questions that puzzled a former FBI agent named Jim Fisher, who started his own investigation. And that led him to a different conclusion.
The man at the center of this is Bill Rothstein. You simply cannot discuss this case in any form or any aspect without speaking about him. All the arrows point to Bill Rothstein.
Rothstein lived alone. He spoke fluent French and Hebrew and sang in the synagogue choir. People who knew him liked him a lot. They said he was a genius. So why would he do it?
The bank robbery and the murder had to do with a pathological desire to mystify the authorities. This was what I would call a vanity crime. This crime was engineered to make Bill Rothstein feel better about himself.
Now, we will never know if that is really the truth. Remember, Bill Rothstein died of lymphoma a few months after Brian Wells was killed.
Rothstein had the last laugh, in a sense. He died without going to prison. He died without being convicted of anything. And he took with him all of the big questions surrounding this case.
I thought many times while I was writing it that had this appeared in a work of fiction, it would almost be too outlandish and people would just discard it. It almost wouldn't make sense.
Rich Shapiro's article about the collar bomber appears in the latest issue of Wired magazine. Marjorie Deal Armstrong is expected to get a life sentence.